Christ alone, we have life eternal. That whatever is going on right now in the world, whatever the future holds, we find rest in Him. We find security. We find peace. We even find joy. Because You are sovereign, and Your will be done. Father, we know what the future holds for us, and we're so thankful. Father, I pray today, Lord, that our hearts and minds would be open. That we would be very receptive to what Your Spirit has to say. Lord, that we would be receptive to the truth of Your Word. We're listening carefully, Lord, to what You want to do in each one of our lives. Father, Your Word is powerful and living. And I pray that You would have Your will in us today. We pray this in Jesus' name. We live in a world that is full of distractions and deceptions. And I know that's nothing new to you. A world under the influence of the evil one who wants to kill, steal, and destroy your life. We live in a world where everything is not as it often seems. A culture that constantly redefines what they believe to be right and what they believe to be wrong. What once was good has been labeled bad, and what once was bad has been labeled good. As it always has been for the church, and I would say especially in our day, what you believe is of extreme importance. Believing the right biblical doctrine makes a great difference in how we live our lives, our lifestyle, our character, our response to what we face in this life, even our perspective on what we see. What you believe about the Bible, what the Bible teaches us about life and this world is extremely important and can have life and death consequences. It can be the difference between being free from the bondage of sin or being enslaved by it. It can be the difference between living a life of freedom and peace and power rather than a life filled with bondage and chaos and hopelessness. God's children must test the spirits. We must use what God has given us to make sure that we're holding on to the truth, that we're living by the truth. The world we live in today sounds a lot like what we read in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3-4. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. If this doesn't describe our culture that we live in, I don't know what it does. People have accumulated on the internet the teachers that make them feel good, that agree with where their passions are leading them, that line up with their own terms for life, their own idea about what truth is. They don't care to listen to the truth of God's Word. For the truth beckons them to come and die to self and take up their cross and follow Jesus. Today, we're going to continue through 1 John. We're going to learn about the power we have in Christ to discern what is true and what is false. And we're going to start first with, have you been following the truth? That's the first question. Have you been following the truth? And we're in 1 John chapter 4, and we're going to start off there in verse 1. If you have your Bibles, or if you don't, there should be one there in front of you. Open to 1 John chapter 4. We'll look at verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. John again begins with his favorite greeting here of beloved. John had a great love and compassion for the church. We've seen that as far through the letter. He cared deeply for his brothers and sisters in Christ, and therefore he's greatly concerned for them. See, John is very aware of his false teachers and the danger they pose to the church. He has a great desire to protect God's children. Therefore, John points out something they may have been blind to, something that many people today sometimes are held captive by. He wants them to be aware that not every spiritual teacher is a credible teacher. There are spiritual liars and deceivers in this world, and many have somehow worked their way to churches. These false teachers do their best to earn our trust and gain our allegiance. John's day was during a time that God had not finished giving the church the full revelation of his word, and so the church had to rely on God's gifting of people as apostles and prophets and teachers to teach God's truth to them. But this also opened the door for lots of false teaching. John says, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Both believe and test are words that call us to continual action. Continually believing, continually testing. The word test has the idea of putting rigorous examination to discover its genuineness. These two words are also plural form, which means everyone in the body of Christ is a theological inspector, a doctrinal inspector. We always investigate
to make sure
what we are being taught
lines up with the Word of God.
That what we are hearing and learning is genuinely from God, that it lines up with right biblical doctrine. The goal here is that we determine whether the teachers and preachers or people we're listening to are from God or from some other kind of spirit. And it is in their message that we find out the truth about what they are, or what they're preaching. It's in the message that will be exposed, that they will expose the origin or source of their energizing spirit. Can you bring me that up, Mike? I want you to think about this. Because we've got false teachers, we have things that we hear about all the time in the internet. Things that are designed to lead us astray.
Loves to mess with technology, I guess, but we got it back.
So it's in their message that we expose the origin or source of their energizing spirit. John wants us to know not everything we hear under the umbrella of Christianity is truth and from God. We must watch, and we must listen, and we must test what is being taught. We, the church, now have a full revelation of God's word in our hands today. If it doesn't line up with his word, then it is false. If it does not line up with his word, then it is false. I'm going to say that one more time. If it does not line up with his word, then it is false. Don't think that there are just a few of these false teachers. He says here that many have gone out. The world is full of them. Even more so in our day, the internet is brimming with them. And they will work wherever they can lead people astray. They'll even use the platform of social media to spread their lies and plant small bits of false doctrine into your mind and heart. Things that may sound good, even sound Christian, but do not line up with God's word. Satan, who has orchestrated this plan of deception in the world, spreads his lies everywhere. He is the father of lies. And these lies are subtle. They're very subtle. Sometimes you don't even notice them. And they're appealing to the heart of those who don't know God. But they're also appealing to the heart of those who do not have a good understanding of what God's word says. False teaching wasn't something new in John's day, and it's not new in our day either. God warned his people all the way back in Deuteronomy chapter 13. He warned them to test whether what the prophet is teaching lines up with God's word. He tested the hearts of the people, he said, to see whether they truly loved God with all their heart and soul or not. And he even gave a strong warning to these false teachers about preaching something contrary to God's word. You see, the danger is real. And it's always been that way. And we see that in Paul's letter to the Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I want you to listen to what he's saying there in verses 1 through 4. He says, I wish you would bear with me in a little foolishness. Do bear with me. For I feel a divine jealousy for you, since I betrothed you to one husband to present you as a pure virgin to Christ. But I am afraid, verse 3, but I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. And verse 4, for if someone comes and proclaims another Jesus than the one we proclaim, or if you receive a different spirit from the one you received, or if you accept a different gospel from the one you accept, you put up with it readily enough. Paul is like, what in the world is going on? Why are you putting up with this? Why are you listening to these things? How many Christians in our day have become biblically illiterate and therefore cannot discern this false spirit or this false teaching? Such a lack of biblical discernment opens the door for Satan to plant these lies and blind us to what is truly false. We see things that seem to be spiritual and religious, and we automatically ascribe these things to be Christian or from God. Spiritual and religious activity is not necessarily godly activity. The sayings on your Facebook feed, even though they sound good, may not line up with God's word. And they lead you to believe something that is false, and therefore change the way you live your life. We must watch. We must listen. We must evaluate the message alongside of God's word. We're warned again and again throughout scriptures. Jesus warned us in Matthew 7 and in Mark 13, and Paul warned us in Acts 20, and Peter warned us in 2 Peter chapter 2, Jude warned us in verses 4 through 19. I want you to remember something. Where there is truth, error will be lurking in the background. Therefore, we must keep guard on our minds and our hearts and what the body of Christ is being taught. As a child of God, you have responsibility to always test what is being taught. Through the lenses of God's word, we're looking at his scripture. We're applying it. We're running it through what God's truth says. Don't just take my word. God has given you the power and understanding to discern what is false and what is true from God's word. And when you hear something that doesn't line up, beware. And be careful that you don't fall into this deception. And so we need to understand that all messages must be evaluated by God's truth. We run everything by the word of God to see whether it is from God or not. But John gives us another test by which we will know these false teachers. Have you confessed the true Jesus? That's the second question. Have you confessed the true Jesus? Look there, verses 2 and 3. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Now here again, John brings it back to the foundational truth of what we believe about Jesus. He's starting at the beginning. And so he's bringing it back to this foundational truth of what we believe about Jesus. We live in a pluralistic world where people claim that whatever opinion you have can be truth for you, but not for somebody else. You see, the good news that claims there's only one way is unique, to say the least. And when it is shared, it always pushes people to make a decision about what they believe about Jesus. That's why when this good news is proclaimed, it disrupts the minds of people so much. If Jesus were just another religious teacher or just a holy man, he's permitted to be one option or one opinion among many. But since he is the very incarnation of God, then the gospel is the only true option for salvation among a multitude of ideas and philosophies and religions. Testing the spirits, or in other words, seeing who is from God and who is not, becomes very clear when we ask the Jesus question. What do you believe about Jesus? What do you believe about Jesus? That's why he says here in verse 2, by this you know. In other words, this is how you're going to know. See, it all comes down to whether you confess the true Jesus or not, or whether they confess the true Jesus or not. Jesus Christ, the incarnation of God, he's come in the flesh. He's the only way of salvation. Have you confessed the true Jesus? See, it's not about making the right statement or knowing the right words to say. Even the demons recognize who Jesus was, but they cannot worship him. Dr. Daniel Aiken says this is about a heartfelt, mind-engaged, and soul-committed confession. Does the teacher or preacher proclaim the truth about Jesus, or is their gospel tainted with works or some type of blessing or prosperity? Or is Jesus not even mentioned? Or maybe they talk about worshiping the Father but not the Son. Or they say, we believe the Bible, such as Jehovah's Witness, but we do not believe that Jesus is God. Or like many other cults, such as Mormons and Muslims, who have added their own books and their own prophet, and they claim that Jesus is not God, and there's some other way of salvation. You see, there are many. You see, the Spirit of God always honors and glorifies the Son. Jesus stated this in John 16, verse 13 and 14. He said, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. If there is no glorifying Jesus as God incarnate, then there is no Spirit of God present. Those who deny this truth, he said, they're not of God. And not only that, he said they are associated with the spirit of the Antichrist. A spirit that has been at work in the world for a long time and will remain active until Jesus returns. Even in John's day, there were many already making false claims and denying the truth about Jesus. Some said he was just a man. He was only empowered by the Spirit of God. He was just spirit. He only looked like he was human. These people denied who Jesus really was, that he was the God-man. He was fully God, fully man, who came in the flesh to give us one true way of salvation for the world. Antichrist means against Christ. You see, to be aligned with this evil spirit is to be against Christ and all that he stands for. See, the problem is that many would say, you know, I'm not against Christ. I just have my own version of Jesus and my own terms of what it looks like to follow him. But these conditions and these terms do not line up with God's word. And God says it doesn't work that way. What you believe about Jesus is everything. What you believe about Jesus. Does your gospel match that of the apostles? Matthew 16:16. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Do you truly confess the true Jesus and follow after him? Or do you have your own religion or your own terms that don't line up with God's word? Following after Jesus has always been about surrender. Surrender to him. It's always been that. Deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. Matthew 16:21. Anyone who doesn't deny all he has cannot be my disciple. Luke 14:26. This isn't about a magic prayer you pray. It's all good. It's about a heartfelt, true belief in who Jesus is. It's about a belief in what he did on the cross when he came and died for us. It's about a belief that he rose from the grave and defeated sin and death to give us life. That he laid down his own life for you and me. This is a sincere repentance of your sin. Sin that drove Jesus to the cross. Sin that separates us from God. Sin that has condemned you, that will give you eternal punishment over your life. This is about a heartfelt mourning over that sin, a turning away from that old life when you were in control and turning to Christ and surrendering your life to him when he's now in control. You're not in control anymore. Jesus wants to give you life, eternal life. Not this short little span, this speck of dust in the grand scheme of eternity, this time we call life. We're talking about eternity here. And he came himself and did everything necessary for you to have life. If someone is preaching a different gospel about Jesus, if they're adding something to the true message that says we are saved by God's grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, then stop listening and turn it off. If they're trying to use Jesus' name to get money from you, then turn it off.
And that makes so much sense. And knowing that all of these false teachers or religions are led by the spirit of the Antichrist, the father of lies, who's been twisting God's word and lying to people all the way back to the garden. He loves to lead Christians astray. He's a counterfeiter. He loves to imitate the work of God. He loves to put forth a counterfeit gospel that seems similar but does not offer true eternal life. Only condemnation. It's sad that so many times Christians look so much like those who don't follow Christ. Shouldn't be that way. Jesus gives us a story about that in Matthew chapter 13, 24 to 30, about the tares and wheat. Jesus and Satan are pictured in this story as the sowers. Jesus sowed the true seed, the children of God. Satan sowed the false seed, the children of the wicked one. And if you notice in the story, the two kinds of plants look so similar to the servants, they didn't notice the difference until the fruit appeared. For Jesus said, you will recognize them by their fruit. Satan's plan has always been to plant counterfeits where Jesus plants his true church. But God has given us the power to discern whether the message comes from the Spirit of God or the Spirit of the Antichrist. God has given his children the power of the Holy Spirit that lives within us to discern what is true and what is false. But we must stay in fellowship with the Spirit. Under his control, trusting his leadership, allowing him to do what he wants to do in our lives. Have we been trusting in God, the Holy Spirit? Look at verse 4. He says, little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. What great encouragement we have in verse 4. As we live in this world, we are bombarded on every side. We have Satan who deceives us. We have cultural philosophies that confuse us. False teachers that want to seduce us. We have temptations that get the best of us. We even have our own sinful desires that want to lead us to do what we should not do. But for the child of God, all these things are designed to fail. Did you get that? For the child of God, all these things are designed to fail because the one who lives in you is greater than he who lives in the world. We have a source of power that all the enemies of hell cannot overcome. Think about it. The God who spoke all things into creation lives in you. How wonderful are these words that God spoke to John. He says, little children, you are from God. By a true and sincere confession of Jesus the Messiah, we can declare that we are God's children. That's what God says. By your honest and sincere repentance, you're turning away from sin to Christ, surrendering your life to him, you are adopted as his child. You are his. And he places his seal on you as we read in Ephesians chapter 1, 13, and 14. God, the Holy Spirit, now indwells you and empowers you, and you experience his peace and power. Nothing can take you away from God. Nothing can separate you from his love. Because you are his, he says, you have overcome them. The them he's talking about, you are those false teachers, the spirit of the Antichrist that's at work in the world. In Christ, we have the victory. It is the world's greatest, it sure is. But our God is infinitely greater. Are false teachers wise sometimes? Sure they are. But our God is infinitely wiser. Is Satan strong somewhat? Yes. But our God is infinitely stronger. Our God is greater. He's wiser. He's stronger now and forever. And he lives in his children. I want you to hear that. The God who spoke all things into creation, who is sovereign and holy and righteous, all-powerful, all-knowing, eternal God lives in you. And he helps us overcome this evil world. He helps us overcome the lies, the deception of Satan. He will guide you by his truth, and his truth will set you free from this bondage. I love Romans 8:31.